You're listening to The Rabbit Hole with Eric Ramos, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome back, my friends. Welcome to the Rabbit Hole podcast. Thank you for hanging in there, for being patient with me. I had I won't go into any details, but I had some obstacles come my way, so I had to do this remotely. Hopefully soon I can be in the studio again and give you guys some quality content. So thank you for hanging in there and being patient. And so without any further ado, I want to get back into the details. Of course, you know, this is the Rabbit Hole podcast, so we're going to do some deep dives into various topics. And some of these topics include the paranormal, cryptids. And I wanted to do a deep dive into my own little sports. How can I say it? I'm a Laker fan, of course. And as a martial artist, you know, I watch MMA. I wanted to cover that. But for lack of time, I'm just going to focus on the paranormal, fringe topics, and the mind and consciousness and expanding consciousness, because that's seems to be the area where society needs help the most right now. I'm sure you've all noticed since COVID, there's been a decline, a rapid decline in the general mental health of people everywhere. I live in Southern California, so I have to use the train when I'm running errands and traffic on the freeway. You know, this is 2024. I noticed since before 2018, if I can compare that, the way people were, my general interaction with people prior to COVID, and I compare it to now, it's a big difference. And the one of the main differences now that I've experienced is you really have to be on guard with people nowadays. You can't just dive into a human interaction and expect, to connect, you know, some equal exchange of information or you're sharing things. You really have to be alert now. I mean, a simple greeting can escalate into a conflict. And I'm sure I'm not the only one who's noticed this. And so that's why for this series here on mind control, this is why we're doing a deep dive into that topic. And so this is a series here where we're doing a deep dive into mind control. And it's going to be numerous videos. I don't know how many right now, right away, but when I feel the time is right, then we'll transition and do a deep dive into another topic. And I'm going to add the bells and whistles for you all, the fancy thumbnails, the video editing, just to, you know, to get more attention. But for those of you who've already joined without the bells and whistles, you are an exclusive group, and you should pat yourself on the shoulder, because that means that you're trusting your higher self. You're trusting your intuition. You're being led to recognize when there's information that's calculated to expand your consciousness. Because who cares what the thumbnail is? Who cares about the editing? That has no impact on the content. Either the content is quality and it's calculated and it has the capacity to expand your consciousness, or it does not. Who cares what it looks like? But I have to meet everyone where they are. So I'll go ahead and do that extra homework. And going forward in other podcasts, you'll see all the bells and whistles there for you all. So mind control. We're still doing the deep dive into mind control. And where we left off last, we were talking about propaganda. And propaganda in itself is an in-depth, it's an in-depth topic where there's a lot of facets to cover, and it's not something I just want to skirt over. Propaganda was very effective in the Nazi regime during World War II when Adolf Hitler had a lot of anti-Semitic propaganda to desensitize the German population so that when he carries out his nefarious tactics on the Jews in Nazi Germany, they're so desensitized to it, they won't even raise any type of protest to some of the atrocities that he was subjecting them to. And that's the power of propaganda. And so I'm going to do a deep dive into that, which is an aspect of mind control as well. But for now, I just want to finish going into some of the other aspects of mind control that I can cover here in this segment. So mind control has various aspects. Now, if you think about economics, there's macroeconomics, and then there's a microeconomics. Well, what is macroeconomics? Macroeconomics is dealing with the principles of economics on a larger scale, globally, nations, the world, the economics of the U.S., the GDP. Now, what is microeconomics? Microeconomics is dealing with principles of finance and economics at an individual scale. So you have Joe Blow, who is a citizen of the U.S., and if we're trying to scrutinize his finances, that will be microeconomics. And we're trying to look at the factors that impact his economy, his finances, him getting gas, paying his utilities. That's microeconomics. And then if we want to analyze the principles of finance and economics on a global scale, how it not only impacts Joe Blow and his community, but also Sally Mae and some other community on the other side of the world, that would be macroeconomics, right? So you see the terms macro applies to on a larger scale, and micro is at an individual scale. Well, when it comes to mind control, the same rules apply. You have mind control at a macro scale on a global level, and then you have mind control on an individual scale at a micro level. Now, if you're familiar with how mind control works at a micro level, then not only are you able to safeguard your mind from those tactics on an individual basis when you interact with people, when you're, you know, if you're dealing with a salesperson, an insurance person, a car salesperson, an attorney, a public defender, a police officer, if you're familiar with mind control tactics at a micro level, those principles apply at a macro level. So if you learn how they operate and you're able to safeguard yourself at a small scale, then by default, you'll naturally be able to recognize those tactics as they're operating on a larger scale. So we're going to cover the tactics of mind control at a micro scale so that from there, hopefully, you'll be able to make the deductions and extrapolate how that can apply to how all these various entities and corporations and governments apply these tactics at a macro scale. So if you have your notepad out, or if you're inclined to taking notes, or you got your Google app, or your notepad on your phone, you can go to this website here, psychcentral.com. Psych, P-S-Y-C-H, central.com. And so we're going to do a deep dive. We're going to go down the rabbit hole of mind control at a micro scale. And if you guys are patient with me, you hang in there. I have a treat for you at the end of this series. And we're hoping to get some guests on that you'll know who they are. And there's some treats for you as well. And if you're looking to get a leg up in society and you're trying to find something different that you can latch onto to help give you an edge, then this is the right podcast for you. I have some interesting information to share with you. I've been researching personal development, consciousness, mind control, psychology for over 20 years already. And, you know, I'm not really one prone to attention. You know, I just do what I have to do. I go to work or take care of family. And then 10 years goes by, 15 years goes by. You know, I have a lot of interests and hobbies that keep me occupied. And so, you know, time flies. But as a result, a lot of the things you see in the media today, I was doing and talking about these things over 20 years ago. But I didn't have the resources to put all that info out there, nor the time to really focus on that. And so as a result, I just fell back and let others who had all the resources put the info out. So in that regard, I'm thankful. And so without any further ado, let's cover it. So what I want to talk about today is dark psychology. Dark psychology is something that the dark triad uses. What is the dark triad? Well, they sociopathy, psychopathy, and narcissism. It's called the dark triad. And these are the main personality types that are out there that you all have encountered where you've interacted with someone and their initial interaction with you was such that it caused you to lower your guard, to lower your defenses. Because you're thinking, oh, yeah, this person's cool. Oh, this person's nice. I don't detect any malintent on this person's behalf. But then, as you part ways with that person, and they get you to do what they get you to agree, they influence you to do or say whatever, and time transpired, and you came to your senses, then later you realized that you were manipulated. If any of you have felt this before, chances are you had an encounter with a member of the dark triad. A lot of people, a lot of other circles refer to that as Machiavellianism. And so what these groups use is what they call dark psychology. Now, let's look at it. So dark psychology techniques. One of them is manipulation. It says manipulation is an umbrella term for many of the techniques that involves cleverly or deceptively influencing or controlling someone, often at their expense. Now it says using tactics such as persuasion, deception, and coercion. Now, I really wouldn't place persuasion on that list. Why not? Well, because if they're trying to persuade me, assuming that I have a healthy mind, I'm persuaded by argument, not rhetoric. So if they're attempting to persuade me by argument and they're presenting me with facts sufficient for me to draw up my own conclusions, then I wouldn't really put that in the realm of manipulation. But deception and coercion, most definitely. And it says that it can occur in various contexts, such as personal relationships, work environments. I've witnessed this a bunch of times. I did almost 20 years in property management. It seems like every property I was at, there was always at least a handful of people using these techniques. It says manipulation often exploits emotions, vulnerabilities, or beliefs to achieve goals. Emotions. They like to exploit your emotions, your vulnerabilities. You ever encountered someone, they always ask you a bunch of questions for no reason? Like there's some kind of Sherlock Holmes, some kind of private investigator. They always got 50 questions for you. Why are they asking you all those questions? Because they're trying to identify vulnerabilities. They're trying to find where you're vulnerable. They're doing their due diligence on you. They're doing their own little investigation. They're trying to psychologically profile you to see where you're at. Oh, he's this person or she's this kind of person. Okay, now I know how to manipulate him. Now I know how to manipulate her. I know what their hot buttons are now. That's why their nosy ass is asking you all those questions. That's why when I'm in some setting, I'm somewhere, you know, wine tasting. I'm in some event somewhere. And there's some random stranger that pops up out the woodwork with 20 questions. I already know, oh, dark triad alert. My spidey senses are going off. Now, so am I saying, well, what if they're just trying to be friendly? Okay, let's analyze that possibility. I've encountered a bunch of people in my life who were trying to be friendly. They weren't as inquisitive and probing as that person from the dark triad. So what was? So how do you know a dark triad? They always probe multiple layers beneath. Now, someone might say, well, what do you mean? What if someone says, okay, hey, Jerry, yeah, nice to meet you. So what kind of work do you do? I'm in pharmaceutical sales. Oh, really? Well, what are you selling? You already asked what kind of work the person's doing, right? When they answer it, move on. Say, oh, you do pharmaceutical sales? Oh, that's cool. Well, nice to meet you, Jerry. Or nice to meet you, Joe Blow. My name is Jerry, and I'm in real estate. It should be an equal exchange of information. If there's no equal exchange of information, and they're trying to probe deeper than beyond what they were willing to reveal of themselves, chances are now you're dealing with a dark triad person. Now, someone might say, well, I'm not a CIA agent. I don't have any sensitive information. Why are they targeting me? That's dark triad people. There doesn't have to be a reason. They're just looking for a target. There doesn't have to be any rationale behind it. They're just looking for anyone that they can just sap all their energy and vitality and then go on to the next person once they sapped and extracted and siphoned out all that person's resources and virtues. Now, why am I talking about this? Well, because this is for my listeners. This is for you. I do this research for you, hoping that the light can expand as much as possible. And I did my part to share my insights with you all. And that's all I want. So now what's the next thing they talk about? It says paltering. Paltering. It says paltering is a deceptive tactic where someone tells the truth. Now pay attention to this, because remember how I said micro and macro. Pay attention to this, because you're going to see how it applies on a macro level. So paltering, paltering. So paltering is a deceptive tactic where someone tells the truth but conceals important information. How many of you at work that happens to you? you just started a job, you just started a position somewhere, and the person above you, they'll give you certain information, but they leave out key details that were necessary in order for you to carry out your job with excellence so that you can look like an incompetent buffoon, and they withheld that information on purpose, but they gave you enough so that it looks like they're making an honest effort to train you. That's the dark triad, people, in operation at a micro level. And HR's dumbass, they act like they don't know this is happening, which is what caused the great resignation. So hopefully they wake up to this, make the adjustments, and this stops being their blind spot. And all this toxic stuff going on in the workplace can subside to a degree. So it says, paltering is a deceptive tactic where someone tells the truth but conceals important information, creating a false or misleading impression. This is why it's important to clarify. And this is why I clarify everything. And I don't let them try to make me feel dumb. Well, didn't you know? Well, who cares whether you thought I knew or whether someone would know or not? I still need to clarify it. Why? Well, if I operate on what I was assuming you were meaning, and then something else unfolds from that, I don't want you saying later, well, that's not what I said. That's not what I instructed you to do. So I clarify everything, no implication, especially when it comes to work-related tasks. There ain't no guesswork. I want everything in detail. I want it all right here. So it says a misleading impression. For instance, imagine a person on a first date who says, I'm really open and honest in my relationships. My last partner and I even shared our, this is the example. My last partner and I even shared our social media passwords. And it says, this may seem like an honest revelation, but the person fails to mention that their previous relationship was marked by distrust and jealousy, leading to the sharing of passwords to monitor each other's activities. By offering this information unprompted, the person attempts to appear honest and open while hiding the negative aspects of their past relationship. So this is basically giving someone half-truths. You have to watch out for that. And here's another tactic of dark psychology. This is, I started using this term. You know, because people, I don't know why. I must not look like a genius. Because whenever I do something that geniuses do, it trends like that. But if someone who looks like a genius does something that a genius normally does, it'll take forever for that to trend. So maybe they're like, oh, he doesn't look like a genius. How come he gets to do this? Well, let us make this mainstream as fast as possible so no one knows of the genius he has to bring to the table. I don't know. Who knows? That's just my own little personal rant as I'm venting to you all. So it says gaslighting. I started using this term back in like 2010. And I remember I complained to the HR lady. I was at a job. I won't go into details. I said, yeah, they're gaslighting me because, you know, I asked them to show me this process. And that process has 12 steps, which I know I'm aware of now. But when I asked them to train me, they only gave me 4. So if they only gave me 4 steps, but we're all aware there's 12, they're gaslighting me. And then she agreed, yeah, that's true. I'm going to have a talk with them. And then she told me later, yeah, they didn't know what gaslighting was. So they didn't know that I already had figured out the term that described their toxic behavior. I was already steps ahead of them. They're like, oh, man, who's this young buck? He doesn't know what we're trying to do. We'll get one over on him. Well, no, not that time, my dear. We're not all as simple-minded as we appear. I may look like I was born yesterday, which I appreciate the compliment, but I've been here half a century already. But I appreciate the compliment that you think I look like I was born yesterday. I appreciate that. So it says gaslighting. is a form of psychological manipulation where a person makes someone doubt their perceptions or sanity by denying the truth or altering reality. I'll give you an example. Let's say, and this is just an example, so don't read into it. It's just an example. Because people tend to read deeply into things, and then the things that they should read deeply into, they don't. They only analyze it at a surface level. And then the things that they should look under the surface, they don't. So please don't do that here with me, folks. It's just an example. So imagine a wife asks her husband to go to the store to get diapers for the baby, right? Oh, yeah, we're out of diapers now. I'll go get diapers, and it has to be a size medium. Oh, okay. How many you need me to get? I'll just get two packages. Okay. That's the info she gave. Two separate packages of diapers, size medium. He goes to Ralph's. He gets two packages of diapers, medium size, brings them back. And then she says, well, why did you get Pampers? I wanted Huggies. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, my bad. So then he has to go back and exchange the Pampers for the Huggies. Now, she's already aware of the effort it took for him. He just got off work. He's been working all day, 8 hours. He's been dealing with the stress inherent in an 8-hour job in the U.S. as a male. Going through traffic, he had to go through traffic to go to work in the morning. He had to deal with whatever he had to deal with at work. And then after work, he had to come off, do the commute back, do the traffic. And she still felt the need to make him go all the way back. And instead of it being Pampers, she wants Huggies. So if she felt the inclination to make him go do all of that just to, because she wanted Huggies and not Pampers, then that brings us all to the conclusion that she must be very specific about wanting Huggies for whatever the reason is. That's her preference. And it could be a valid reason. Oh, well, I like Huggies. And again, this is just an example, folks. She might be like, oh, well, I like Huggies because, you know, it doesn't leak. And if the baby pees, it doesn't leak out. So it doesn't get the clothes wet. It doesn't get on the pants, on the seat. Now, that could be valid. Okay, very good. Now, assuming that's valid, why didn't you say that when you told him you wanted, we needed more diapers, when you asked him to get diapers? Why didn't you say that in the beginning? Why did you omit that detail that you feel is so important to make him drive all the way back, despite the fact that he's been driving all day and he's been dealing with the stress of work for 8 hours all day? Who knows if he had to do overtime, and you still felt the need to send him back to go change diapers. You felt all that was justified because of the value that Huggies has with their diapers. Okay, very well. Then why didn't you tell him that in the beginning? Why you omit that detail? That's gaslighting. You should have said, yeah, go. I want you to go. We need new more diapers. I need you to get Huggies. Size medium. It's simple. No one's asking you to freaking explain, you know, to give a thesis on why you prefer Huggies. Just give the details. I want A, Huggies. B, size medium. C, I need two. Cool. Two packages. Cool. Perfect. But instead, you want to gaslight him and omit the detail that you wanted Huggies, to play head games with him, to make him doubt his reality, to make him feel that he's inferior to you intellectually, to maintain some type of level of control over the person. Now, there's times where this might happen as an honest mistake. I'm not referring to those times. You petty-ass people. Not my listeners, of course, but ones that were sent here to come and analyze it, and they're trying to critique it, right? So, of course, we make mistakes as humans. I'm not talking about honest mistakes. If it's an honest mistake, then who cares? We just got to forgive and move on. It's not a big deal. But for those who did it purposely, they purposely omitted that detail to make the person second guess their own intellect. This is what they call gaslighting. And this is a form of dark psychology and mind control at a micro level. And if you're able to recognize this, you can recognize this at work. You just start a job. A lot of you now, you're working, you've been wherever you've been working at. Some of you here have just started a new job. But out of all of you that are here, some of you have had a job where you had worked long enough to become proficient at it. So all of you who've had a job and you've had it long enough where you became proficient, and the amount of information you have on that job task now, and you compare all those data points that you have on the task you're doing now to the data points that was given you when you started, if you were gaslighted, you will see that there is a gap between the data points the gaslighter gave you and the data points you're aware of now in order to do your job with competence and excellence. You were gaslighted. Now, sometimes, not all the time, sometimes people omit information just because they're bad communicators. And they take for granted their own learning curve. But whether it's on purpose or not, the effect is still the same. It still makes you feel like a dumbass. They're like, hey, how come when I trained you, it took you forever? But then when you're showing people, they learn it fast. Is it because they're faster learners than you? That's possible. Or I'm a better teacher than you are. I don't leave out details. You leave out a lot of details. You always take for granted your own learning curve. You assume everyone's in your mind. You think just because you know it, then automatically the other person knows it. Oh, yeah, well, everybody knows that when you get medicine, that if it's a blood thinner, they're supposed to tell you. I don't know that. Yeah, well, whenever you're given a medication, they're supposed to tell you. If it's a blood thinner, they're supposed to tell you. Okay, so if they're supposed to tell you that it's a blood thinner, and then they tell you it's a blood thinner, how do they know they're supposed to tell you it's a blood thinner? Is it because they were trained somewhere? Oh, yeah, well, when they went to med school, they were trained that they had. Okay, I didn't go to med school, so I don't know what they're supposed to tell the people. So why do you assume I know what someone who went to medical school is supposed to know? That doesn't make any sense. I'm a boxer. And when I train, when I throw a jab, I'm right-handed. So my right hand is where my power is. So if I'm going to throw a rock very far or a ball very far, if we're playing baseball and I'm on the outfield and I caught the ball and I need to throw it on the infield, I'm going to throw it with my right hand because that's my power. I'm not going to throw it with my left hand. I'm going to throw it with my right hand. So it's the same with boxing. If I'm going to throw my power punch and I want to knock him out, I got my right hand back here and I'm leading with my jab, right? So when I jab, I'm supposed to protect my chin with my shoulder. I'm not going to jab like this because I can get caught right here. But as a boxer, I know that. What kind of dumbass would I be if I'm assuming everyone else knows that? That's my area of expertise. I'm aware of the details of boxing. I know if I jab, if I'm jabbing, I got to keep my shoulder protecting my chin. I'm not going to assume that some neophyte, what's a neophyte? Someone who hasn't been initiated into the body of knowledge that I'm pontificating on. So I'm not going to assume a neophyte is aware of that information. Why? Because that's a basic assumption. I can't assume this person is aware of the information I'm privy to because I train in that discipline. Similarly, how come when if you start a job and they're training you, they assume that you're already initiated into all the other things you're talking about? That doesn't make any sense. That's gaslighting. Unless they're just exceedingly retarded and they're assuming, oh, well, everybody knows this. Everybody knows you're supposed to jab protecting your chin. Everybody knows that. What kind of dumbass does that? But that's what we're dealing with now. So that's why I'm exposing this. I'm sure a lot of you dealt with this at your job. You might start a job as a coder. And there's things that you're taught coding, but then there's other things that are specific to that company that you weren't trained that at your job, at your coding school. But there'll be some dumbass assuming you know that. Oh, well, Microsoft, we all do it this way. Okay, and so when was I supposed to learn that Microsoft does it this way? When I came out the womb, I drank some cup of juice, and then all the Microsoft's information just went to my brain? Freaking dumbass retards. I'm sure you all are tired of that already. People always assuming shit. This is gaslighting. They assume you know this. Or you might go to some restaurant and you order something, and then they bring some weird thing. Oh, well, yeah, well, we always do that. Oh, okay. So you know that they always do that. Yeah. And how do you know that? Oh, because I've been working here 20 years. Oh, okay. Today's my first day here, so how was I supposed to come into the initiation of that information? Oh, well, is this your first time here? Yeah, it's my first time. Why do we got to make it a big deal? There's a first time for everything. So all these beautiful restaurants that are in the world that have good food, I'm not allowed to have my first experience there. I should have been to each one already 5 times in the past, just automatically. I just press a button. Okay, I was there 5 times. This is gaslighting. So sorry for the rant. I hope some of you relate. I'm trying to expose this because, you know, we have people who don't do toxic, who don't engage in toxic behavior. You're just a regular person. You're just a regular human. No hidden agendas. But when you go out into the world, you will encounter people who think they know you. And they think they know you because they look at you and something about you, they're like, oh, this person's not toxic. Oh, this person's naive. This person is a being of light. Oh, I know how to deal with them. And then that makes them feel like they have an edge over you. Okay, very well then. Well, I'm going to expose their tactics. So when you go out into the world and you recognize you're dealing with a toxic person, now you know who you're dealing with. And that'll humble their ass to make them fall back a bit to give you some space to enjoy your free time. Don't you hate that? Like you just got off work, you're going somewhere to relax, and some random troll just pops up out the woodwork harassing you. You're like, who is this person? Where he come from? That's the dark triad there, the dark psychology. Something about you, they think they can manipulate you. And it triggers their reptilian brain, and now they want to target you. Well, these podcasts is to equip you and arm you against all these toxic critters out here. So the website is psychcentral.com. Look up dark psychology. Psych Central, PsychCentral. Now, here's another one. Triangulation. It says triangulation is a manipulation tactic where a person involves a third party to manipulate or control a situation, often by creating competition, jealousy, or insecurity. And then it goes on to say, for example, and these are names they're just making up. It says, for example, Allie feels jealous of Bracey's new friendship with Curl. Instead of addressing her feelings directly with Bracey or finding ways to cope, Allie may start making negative comments about Carol to Bracey. This happens at work all the time. It says this behavior can create tension between Bracey and Carol, as Bracey may feel torn between her new friendship and her existing ones. You know, I was in property management for many years. I was always dealing with this. I'll come in there I want to do a good job. Okay, so here's another way of looking at it. How many of you, when you start a job, how many of you want to suck at the job you're starting? Raise your hand. How many of you, let's say someone there, you know, their name is, you know, Joe or John. Hey, John, you just started. So would you like to suck at this job or do you want to excel? Like, how many of you are going to say, yeah, I want to suck? Nobody, right? I'm sure the majority of you are going to be like, yeah, I want to excel. Okay, good. So now we've established that all of you who just started your new job, that you want to excel. What are some of the things that you should do to excel? Nothing toxic, just normal human behavior. Show up on time, right? Show up on time. Some necessary overtime if necessary. Nothing over the top. Like if you close at 5 and it's 4:55 and you're finishing up a lease, you're not just going to just leave it there. You're going to want to finish it, right? You're going to go the extra mile. Not nothing, you know, outrageous, but you're going to show up to work. You're going to be on time. You're going to go the extra mile. You're going to be a good student, be teachable, a team player. Right? You know how many places I did that, those things, and someone wrote me off, try to label me, oh, he's competitive. What makes you think, why do you say, why you got to label me as competitive? How come I can't just be a hard worker? Yeah, oh, he's always competing. Competing with who? I don't even know what your numbers are. I just started. But this is the toxic behavior in the U.S. workplace. This triangulation here. I'll be at a property I just started. I don't even know anybody there. I'm just trying to wrap my head around the new content that I have to assimilate. 900 units, 10 different floor plans, various concessions. A concession is a discount in the property management industry. I'm sure in other industries as well. We got a vacancy rate. There's like, you know, over 10% vacancy. I'm trying to make my commissions. So instead of saying, oh, yeah, he's a hard worker, he keeps to himself, they want to try to say, oh, he's competitive. And he thinks he's better than us. This is the triangulation. I've been dealing with this since I've been in corporate America. I've been having to deal with this. Since day one, I got to deal with the dark triad. Oh, he's competitive. He's trying to take my position. How do you even know what I think if we never had a conversation? You're assuming shit and you're projecting. Just because you're toxic, you're assuming everyone else is toxic. So this is what you have to deal with, folks, in the U.S. workplace, these dark psychology, the dark triad, the dark psychology traits. You guys need to learn this stuff because more people have these traits than those who do not. Those who have these traits outnumber those who do not. And if you haven't encountered enough people to think that, you are blessed. I envy you. I wish I was in your shoes where I could feel that way. I wish I could say, yeah, man, yeah, that's he must be in a bubble somewhere because that hasn't been on my experience. Well, if that's your experience, wherever you're at, stay there. You found a little nook somewhere. And don't share it with anyone because then it's going to wake up people and they're going to come over there and try to make that poison that area. So if you've been blessed where you haven't had these experiences, don't tell anyone. Just keep it to yourself. You found a little anomaly in the universe and just enjoy it and ride it out in peace. Trust me. Because dealing with these groups here is annoying as hell. It's so annoying. I don't even want to be a human anymore. You know, because, you know, I'm a believer. You know, I don't like to say Christian because that's a term that was added to believers in Antioch. That's not what the Bible, that's not what Yeshua called his disciples. He didn't say they're Christian. He said they were believers. The Bible says believers. It says he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God is born of God, and whosoever is born of God overcomes the world. To overcome means to conquer, to surmount, and to make powerless. So I'm a believer. So for the believers out there, if you've had these experiences, I'm sure you can relate. And if you haven't, God bless you. Stay where you're at. Don't tell anyone where you're at. Wherever your job is, wherever you're located, keep it a secret. So moving right along. Another one, guilt tripping. This is another common dark psychology tactic. It says guilt tripping is a manipulative tactic where someone tries to make another person feel guilty to control their behavior. It often involves emotional manipulation to make the person feel responsible for something that's not their fault, or to exaggerate the impact of their actions on others. It says, for instance, a friend might guilt trip you by saying, "I thought you cared about me, but I guess I was wrong." It says this statement is designed to make you feel guilty for not meeting their expectations, even if those expectations are unreasonable or unfair. So someone might say, "Oh, you can't loan me that $50 of gas money. Oh man, I thought you cared about me, man. I thought we were friends. Oh man, I thought we were homies." That's the guilt tripping. Another one, I don't even need to go too far into that. You guys can follow that one. Another one, reverse psychology. It says it's a strategy where someone encourages another person to do something by suggesting that they do the opposite, tapping into their desire for autonomy or defiance against being manipulated. For example, if one partner wants the other to spend more time with them, they might say, "You probably wouldn't want to spend time with me anyway, so go ahead and hang out with your friends." I dated someone that used to use that on me a lot. Reverse psychology. So, and there's a long list of these. Some of these, I'm just going to introduce you to them. You could go down that, and then there's going to be other things I'm going to introduce to you, because we could go on forever, but this has to come to an end eventually. And so just wanted to put that in there and make you aware of those things. Now, I got to pay the bills. So wanted to, any of you aspiring entrepreneurs out there, if there's anyone who's tired of being in the rat race, I have an opportunity for you. So according to NerdWallet.com, the average startup for a small business, it can run anywhere in the ballpark of $10,000 or more. You got to get the office space, supplies, marketing. But for as low as a one-time investment of only $2,500, you can be out of the rat race in a little as 30 days, depending on how much effort you put into your own business. So if you're ready to stop saving to make someone else rich, and you want to work on your own legacy, your monthly overhead is only a little bit under $175. And the initial investment is about $2,500, give or take a few hundred, depending on where you want it to enter. And if you're ready to get started and you believe in yourself, you're ready to get started now, you're tired of the rat race, you're ready to run your own business, just send your contact info to therabbitholepodcast@gmail.com. The rabbit hole is spelled T-H-U, not T-H-E. Someone took that already, trolls. But T-H-U, rabbitholepodcast.com. and just put your email, cell number, full name, and the best time to reach you. And one of the managers will reach out to you personally within 48 hours. Without any further ado, thank you for joining me. Stay tuned for the next podcast. This is Eric Ramos with the Rabbit Hole Podcast. Until next time, take care.
You're listening to The Rabbit Hole with Eric Ramos, only on LA Talk Radio.